Isn't it good to be in a church that has preachers that get personal? I would rather hear a message that I might even take issue with than hear nothing. And someone trying to make me feel better than I am. If preaching doesn't cause you to self-examine, I don't think it's Bible preaching. So if you were a little easy with what was being said in a little bit, hang on, it's about to get gooder. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray you'd bless it to your people. Sure is good to be in church. Sure is good to be have a shelter in the time of storm. And Lord, I'm preaching down in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains this last week and getting out of that meeting at night and fellowshipping and eating and praying and that crisp mountain air and just thinking to myself, the verse that the assistant said to Pharaoh, "Know ye not that Egypt is destroyed?" Hard to believe, Lord, when we get in places like this and in the Bible and in the fellowship and in the house of the Lord that things are burning down around us. Help us, Lord. Help us with this today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. I think you need to pull me back just a little bit, Jason, just a little bit. I'm going to take a little detour this morning, if it's okay with you or if it's not okay with you. People say the downside of expository preaching is you can't vary. Yeah, I can. If you've ever taken leftover rigatonis. Now, if you don't know what rigatonis are, they are the form of pasta. Some people call them stovepipes. They used to be real big stovepipes. No, not noodles. Now they're making rigatonis. Rigatonis are big stovepipes. Ziti's are little like straws. Now they're making the rigatonis like straws. So it's not a true representation of real rigatonis. You can get them at Wegmans for about $3.50 a pound, which, I mean, if somebody slapped you across the face with one cooked, you'd go down. That's how big they are. But if you've ever taken leftovers with the sauce, with the rigatonis, you know, in your Ziploc bag in the fridge, and get you a cast iron frying pan, about 2 days later, and put a little olive oil in there and turn it on and get that pan hot and put those leftover rigatonis in there, and you cook that a little bit, those rigatonis will actually get a little crispy and a little chewy. And sometimes it's really, I mean, we grew up with it. Every Wednesday we would have Sunday sauce, and then Wednesday you get the leftovers. Better than the first time. Why'd you say that? Because Brother Jay said to me yesterday, "Why don't you preach that message tomorrow?" Because a whole lot of folks weren't here. So some of you are going to hear this for the first time. The rest of you, I'm gonna add some oil and some heat and warm it up. And let's see if we can't get some help today. Let's start in Philippians chapter 2. Paul got personal with his church, and I thank God. I like when things are going on. Don't miss an opportunity at a tragedy or all that's going on. Take advantage of this. Let's conflict reveals our fickleness. But I don't. Let me stick to my message here. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Children, listen up now. You children listening? Say amen if you children are listening. Okay. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Summed up, if I could sum that up, I would say, quit complaining. Doesn't children complaining drive you crazy? Now the parents aren't listening. You ever feel like as a parent, like a vending machine?
Can we do this? Can we go there? Can they sleep over? Can I sleep over? I'm freezing. I'm sweating. There's nothing to eat.
How many of you ever pray for or are familiar with or heard of Brother Nono, missionary in the Philippines? National mission. My kids, when they were young, thought that was their last name.
Right?
So we like to grab to this verse and instruct our children in the ways of God. And if I could get away with it, I'm already aware that the young children aren't listening. So I'd tell the young children to plug their ears, but they really don't have to because they're not listening anyways. So I can say this to you parents without them knowing it. The passage isn't speaking to children. In fact, the 18 times in the Bible that complain and complainers and complaining shows up, it's never for children. It's for children of God, but not little children. When murmur and murmuring and murmurs shows up 33 times, it's never specifically for children. It's always just for children of God. When dispute and disputed and disputing shows up 16 times, it's never exclusively for children, just exclusively for children of God. And I posed a question to our graduates yesterday. If in the next week, everyone I asked, I came across to describe America as you see it, and let's limit it to 2020, beginning of this year till now. Days start getting shorter in about 14 days. To describe America in a word or a short phrase as best you could from what you've been witnessing, how do you suppose they would reply? Would it be a fair assessment to say majority would probably say something to the effect of these possibilities? In crisis, divided, confused, angry, discontented, vengeful, uncertain, in fear, unfair, ungodly, unhealthy, and unequal. I would take my word, and I think sums up all of those with this: unhappy. And I don't care of what political persuasion across the whole spectrum of political, racial, male, female, young and old, would 1 in 100 say, great. Maybe a immigrant from the former Soviet Union or someone that is in the country from communist China or Iran might say, well, I'm lower middle class and don't get all the opportunities of the rich, but in America I can get free preschool and free lunch and free high school, and if I'm not too well off, I can even get free college. If I'm so poor that I can't afford to go to the doctor, someone will pay my tab for me, and even the taxi will come and pick me up, and they'll pay for that too. My dad was so poor he couldn't pay attention. He said, Joe, in the Depression, bread was a nickel a loaf, and nobody had the nickel. And now he got a retirement place in Florida. America's beautiful. A lot of options. They used to sing America the Beautiful. Like I said yesterday, forgive me for repeating if you were here. If you like dark and cold, you have Alaska and Rochester, New York. If you like warm and sunny, 12 months a year, within a 24-hour day, you can drive to summer. You want flatlands? We got it. You want mountains and hills? We got it. You want trees? We got it. You want scrub? We got it. From sea to shining sea, we got it all. Not to be too political, but if I'm liberal and like big government, I can be in places that support me there. If I'm libertarian and hate any form of government, I can be in places that will support me there. I'm so free, I can say almost anything I want to anybody on a street corner. Would anyone in the past week that you posed the question to, rich or poor, white or black, liberal or conservative, say like Tony the Tiger, it's great? I don't think so. Why don't you think so, preacher? Because I'm listening. Who are you listening to? Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the most miserable of them all? People across the spectrum are in a mode of unhappiness, including the people of God. And here's why. We got bad thinking. Thinking this, I won't be happy until I reach utopia in this world. And for me, utopia is fill in the blank. Economic equality basically says if everybody was rich and privileged, like the rich and privileged, then we would all be happy. If rich and privilege and opportunity is the source of happiness, why do the rich and privileged that a lot of us listen to on the radio, talk radio all day long, do nothing but complain and sound unhappy all day long? Because they haven't reached what they believe to be utopia. I was stuck in a hotel room last week and there was only one news outlet. And I'm restraining myself to not Christian curse right now. Basically, this pencil-necked liberal translated said, President Trump is looting the stores in our cities. Just one big long complaint, and we've got a... And it's not... complaining doesn't discriminate to one side or the other, because you can flip any channel you want. I would have been on the other channel that would have said, we are going to bring in our panel of complainers today. Fred, what do you say to complain about what's going on? What do you think I did, Jace? I got in on the panel. I'll choke you, you. Oh, let me just, I want to get you aggravated because then I'm going to get to the part where I can preach because you're aggravated. And I've been in this. Listen, what do you think, Pastor? I hope that cop is happy. Now, I know we got police in here, police that I love, police that are out there on the front lines right now. But I've dealt with cops like that. Number one, they're not all like that. Most of them are not. But I have dealt with some as a street preacher like them. Where's my Snyders? One of them put your dad on the ground in Buffalo, New York for preaching the gospel. On the ground. Really? A guy passes a check. Oh, he had methamphetamine in him and you killed him? Now, some of you don't like what I'm saying, but good, good, good. So here's what the police are commanded to do, following their orders, clear the streets. And so the skinny, I won't use what I'm presuming he was, reporter from that network, is right in the middle of the looting. Of course, I like that because I like that, man, all this going on. And the cop is going, okay, move on, keep moving. And that's what they would tell us. When they passed that law out there, or they tried to pass it in Buffalo, when we would stand up and, nope, you're not going to stand no more, keep moving. Everybody's got to keep moving. And the guy's going, well, where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to go? Where do you want us to stand? We're essential. We're essential. Where do you want us to go? And he's going, just keep moving, keep moving. And here is this pencil neck sucker that I wanted to grab on the little square back at the studio going. I bet they're not looting his mother's store. He's working. Do I have you aggravated yet? If rich and privileged and everybody being equal and no more under-resourced communities makes everybody happy, why are the rich and famous in Hollywood so unhappy with divorce and addictions and all that? If everyone were my political persuasion, then I would be happy. Don't kid yourself. And number one, don't hold your breath. How old is America? And I think while the ink was still dry on that big, famous, wonderful, I think God-ordained just about document, before the ink was dry, the lines of division started to draw already. And they've done nothing but get wider and wider and wider in 200 and some years. And not to be negative, but there is a God who has real followers that you can sing about bringing people together all you want. And hear me out. Hear me out. Some of us will never come together on abortion, on homosexual marriage, on transgenderism, on anything against the Bible. And if you're of all those persuasions, you won't come together with us either, will you not? Let's be fair. Well, if everyone comes to my side, I'll be happy. I'm telling you, America's not happy tonight. And God's people and the preacher this morning are not far behind. If marriage, where's those couples? Oh, there they are. Or having babies is a recipe for happiness, then why do some of you want to choke your spouse and, I didn't say us, I said you, and choke your children sometimes? Why do they disappoint us so? In the midst of, well, this one disappointed me. It's the measure of happiness. If it was the measure of happiness, you'd always be happy. So here's what I propose to the graduates. Because they might be thinking their temporal pursuits of education and employment and relationships and marriage and children is going to be bring happiness. And there's a whole lot of people in America and across the world. They're protesting in Belgium and London and Australia. It's like a dog when you excite him and they get and you say, and if you were to say, hey, what are you excited about? I don't know, you're excited. What are you protesting about? I don't know, mate, but.
Very good.
Having a protest. Let's go out. What are we protesting? I don't know. Younger generation is real unhappy. We are too. We just don't have the wherewithal to fight hardly anymore. Could it be that hope and contentment and joy and real, genuine, lasting happiness doesn't come from anything temporal or having my way in this world? Happiness isn't attained through the temporal. Advancement, equality, opportunity, relationships, or everyone on the planet being of my political persuasion. In fact, if you're a child of God, a believing practice, I'm not talking about an undercover agent for Jesus, don't read your Bible. Because if that's your euphoria, you're going to get real depressed. Because you've been in the minority from the beginning. And if you want to live godly, you are going to suffer persecution. Don't doubt it. Could it be that the words that were penned by King Solomon under the inspiration of God gave us the recipe for happiness when he said, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Could it be that through the psalmist revealed true source of lasting happiness when he said, listen, in this, when I first got saved, Brother Jay, and read this, what does this mean? It seems like it's double talk. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. What do you mean whose God is the Lord? Because there's a difference between God and Lord. Can I put it in the Camilleri version? Whose God is the boss? Whose God is your trust? Capital L-O-R-D, that is whose God is Jehovah. Yes, it's got to be the right one. It can't be this God out there. It can't be this God that comes and goes and doesn't care about what you do, just wants to save you and then nothing matters. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. How are these rigatonis? They okay? They okay? Put a little more down. Put a little more cheese on. A little more parmesan. Stinky foot cheese, we call it. I'll never forget. Damon, I know you're watching today. Lisa, this is... Your mother pointed this out to me years ago in her little sweet... Yes, I tell my children all the time, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Watch it. And when the people complained... Not that Lisa ever complained, but Lyndon... You know Lyndon Jr. He's probably the one that complained. I can't picture Lisa complaining. Right, Damon? When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. What were they complaining about? They were complaining about the hand that the Lord had dealt them where and when they were on their journey to the promised land. Numbers 21. Help me, Lord. Don't you hate yourself? I told my kids the other day, I said, listen, if you don't like me, I don't blame you. I don't like me either. I'd run away from myself if I could. One day I will. This part's leaving this part. And when this other part catches up, it's going to be all right. 21:5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Watch. For there is, say the next word, no bread, neither is there any water. For our soul loatheth. You're going to have a list whether you like it or not on that one. Loath this what? Oh, so there is bread. What we complain, man, for God's provision in our lot, where we are, when we are, starts to skew our perception at the goodness and provision of God. They had bread and they couldn't even see it. They were eating it and they couldn't even taste it. And a fruit of that unhappiness is manifested because our trust in God really is what in question. Now, my I take issue with that, with myself. No, I'm not. Yes, we are. What did Jesus say to his followers under Roman rule? Get Matthew 6. You think you got a bad bud? Ain't you glad you got a Bible? Listen, that helps you out in all matters of faith and practice. There's nowhere that this book has not been where we're going. Because uncertainty... Listen, God's not giving us the spirit of fear. If you're afraid, if I'm afraid of anything, COVID, looters, rioters, you got to ask yourself, where's this coming from? Because he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. My rule is, which I'm trying and Paul was trying to, just die daily. If I die daily, you can't kill me. Nothing kill me. I'm already dead. You can't not take nothing away. Well, you can't put, there's not a U-Haul behind a casket. Well, if I already died, I don't have to worry about what's in my U-Haul. Let's go on. Matthew 6, 24. Jesus speaking to his followers under Roman rule. Now watch. No man can serve two masters. Okay, so you can't be carnal and spiritual. You can't have Christian rock and good Christian music. You can't have this. You can't have both. Okay, now watch. For either hate the one, love the other, else you hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And it's in that context he says, therefore, I'm tying this to that. I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. No thought what you shall eat. You know Jesus wasn't a Baptist. No thought what you shall drink. You know he wasn't a liberal Baptist. Or what he shall put on, you know he wasn't a woman Baptist. Because really, if we wanted to measure our thought, Brother Jay, on what we give to eating and drinking, we would come up here and measure our body fat content. And we would take selfies in our closets. Take no thought. That Bible's something, isn't it? And I'm being liberal in my preaching today. I'm saying, okay, you know, I like the table, you can probably tell, and I'm preaching on rigatonis here, but 26, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barn. Did you see any? I got a bird feeder this year. Dave Corona gave me a free bird feeder. I'm getting like your father. Oh, he said, I set my camera up right. You know the guy that just ripped you this morning and ripped you last Sunday? He takes his little iPhone and puts it out by the bird feeder. And when the Baltimore Oriole, he's telling me this, when the Baltimore Oriole comes, he hits his little iPhone watch and it takes a picture of the Baltimore Oriole. You say, why are you doing that? 30 years of ministry, you'll be doing it too. Now, he probably, he shows me this app. Brother, you can take a picture of the bird. And it will tell you what kind of bird it is. Well, when I walk in the morning in my prayer closet over there at Hamlin Beach, there's these bird watchers. And if you're ever going to go into bird watching, I'd go somewhere besides Hamlin Beach. Because they got the Italian national bird, which is a seagull. And sometimes Some Canadian geese, and once in a while you'll see us. But I come around the corner the other day, I hear this. I come around, and it's a guy. Real stiff as a board, you know. I said, oh, you know your birds, huh?
Yeah.
I said, you know, I got a bird feeder. Figure I'd get a little rapport going. I got a bird feeder, and a friend of mine, he showed me this app where I can take a picture of the bird. And it will actually tell you what kind of bird. What's the app called again? Do you remember offhand?
Yeah.
What? Huh? What's it called? Merlin.
That's right.
Merlin. He goes. Merlin. Yeah, that's it, Merlin. We know the people that developed that. So I've been watching some birds. Brother Jay's got his iPhone, so he's listening. And he didn't hear one of them say, can you believe what's going on? I'm getting out of New York. Now, some of them do for the winter. You can't blame them for that. Nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Lord, give me the faith of a bird today. I know they got their issues, and they got more issues than a lot of you realize, because I'm in with someone that's really in with the troubled end of this persuasion. But sometimes I admire these Amish people, because the world could be burning around them and they got no idea. Just going out to plow the fields. Take no thought. Do you love me? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Rebuke a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Reprove a scorner and he'll hate you. Some of you ladies need, I'm going to address the husbands. I love you ladies too much. Some of you husbands need to get your wife off of the internet. You're killing her. You're killing her, and she's killing the family, and the family's killing the church. And maybe we need some of us get us off the internet.
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
Why? Because we're looking at the temporal and what's going to happen in the temporal. And the temporal is never going to be good. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm saying that in all the love that I can drop up. Just take a little break from it. Just stay on this internet as long as you stay on that internet. Just pass this on the way you pass everything else on. And listen. If you pass stuff on to me, I'm not sitting here condemning you. I'm passing it on to my friends too. Can you believe it? I got some this morning. Not from a girl, from a guy. That this guy that they pushed over, this old man in Buffalo, he was Antifa, man. He was a high up in there. Oh, they just, you know what someone else sent me? I'll try to say it without crying. Put it on the family text. This song reminds me of Dad. And it was a spiritual song, and I listened to it 25 times this morning. Listen, we've taught you for years. You look at the problem. See, this is what God says. Gaze on me. I will seek his face. Look unto me and be saved. Look, 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 look. And the reason he says that, because whatever you gaze at gets bigger. And whatever you're not gaze at gets out of focus. So if I'm gazing at this problem, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And God's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. But if I gaze at God, he's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if he gets big enough in my life, I'll be like that bird, not even know what's going on. Here's another thing I'm concerned about. If that doesn't convince you, maybe this will. Let me put it this way. If that doesn't convince me, maybe this will. Because this is, I'm hitting my own home here. And don't worry, honey and girl, I'm hitting me. We hate when our kids complain. We explode. No, we don't explode. We say, now, children, shut up and stop complaining. Do all things without murmuring, disputing. The people complained, and the Lord heard it, and it displeased the Lord. It drives us nuts. It impacts our relationship, and it puts division between us. Let me take you a little blast in the past, some of you older folks. Do you remember your parents watching the news when you were kids? I had an Uncle Elmo and Aunt Lil, which turned out to be Grandma Lil. I didn't realize that till after everybody died, but that's another story for another day. But we would go out there almost every weekend. And my thought were my second cousins, were my first cousins, lived next door. They had five kids, and we'd go one place and just a little gate in the yards and play and sometimes stay there for the whole weekend. Well, Uncle Elmo was a big, staunch Republican conservative, you know, and listened to that police radio all day long. And you know, Saturday morning you get some cartoons. But if I slept over Saturday night, you know what Sunday morning was? Meet the Press. Face the Nation. 60 Minutes. Walter Cronkite. You know what that did to me? Made me want to puke. What young person cares about news? My uncle Sam Fenari, Democrat, 80 years old, veteran. Joey, look what those Republicans did. I got to pay for my own stamp now to put my for my benefits. And his kids are all Republican. I mean, constant strife. And here's what I want to ask you. Would our kids ever tell us, shut up and stop complaining? No, not if they're Christian kids. But I wonder if they ever think it. I'm sick of these kids complaining. I wonder if they're saying, I'm sick of these parents complaining. I know mine are. I got a daughter getting married and she's going to say, can we just please not talk about COVID for one day? What if inside they're saying, man, that don't look like happy to me. Because you know what they did with Uncle Elmo's Meet the Press and Face the Nation and all that? Where are my happy friends? I don't want anything to do with this old people's stuff. Right. I wasn't going to let the Lord beat me up with that without passing on to you. Kids aren't wired for that heavy stuff. And we can have our little rules and regulations, but listen, if you've never read a book, read Mike Pearl's book, Jumping Ship. And I'll tell you what they're looking at. They're looking at our lives. And I'll tell you what every human being wants, happiness. And they may be conforming. Personally, I can't understand why any young person wouldn't want our God. Unless I'm misrepresenting Him. Unless I am manifesting not what I'm saying, well, maybe what I'm saying, that I really don't trust Him. Tim Fallour was, we had to preach through the book of Jude. They assign you passages, phenomenal meeting. And he got the verse in Jude about wandering stars. And he made a point, man, I wrote it down. And he talked about shooting stars versus the Big Dipper. They're always there. These stars, Orion and all that, Little Dipper, they're always there. And here's what he said. Mariners can't navigate on shooting stars. They can only navigate on fixed stars. And he said, when you jump from issue to issue and church to church and place to place and this remedy to that remedy and always in a panic, your children can't get their bearings to navigate.
That's good, bro. Yeah. Very good.
Bada bing, bada ba, bada bing, bada ba. And you know why? They just want to be happy.
Whoa, it's more than happiness.
Happy is the people that trust in the Lord. Now, we love the Apostle Paul. Let's go to Acts 25. You say you're preaching along. I will not be near as long as we will in a couple weeks. Acts chapter 25. You know where the book of Acts ends? This guy, he's in prison. He's going to die a prisoner under Nero. But God has the whole thing orchestrated. See, he told Paul at the beginning when he got saved, he goes, you're going to preach before kings. You're going to testify of me before kings. Now imagine if God saved you, called you to Romania. You're going to testify to me before Damon. You're going to testify before the kings of Zambia. Why? Because you're going to be a prisoner and he's going to have you on trial. God didn't tell him that part.
Right.
How am I going to reach Caesar Augustus? A prisoner. Acts 25, verse 26. Of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord, whereof I have brought him forth before thee, especially before O King Agrippa, who had all the interests of Rome at heart, that after examination had I might for somewhat to write, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not to withal signify the crimes laid against him. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And here's what he said. I think myself happy. And I'll spare you because of time, and I'm getting a little sweaty up here, that I could give the gospel to you as a prisoner with the blade of the guillotine being sharpened. Yeah, that's what makes me happy. True happiness, if you let it, can transcend country of origin. If America was this way, what if you're not American? You're going to tell me the God of the Bible is not big enough to give you happiness? Economic status. Can I complain a little bit more? Just once more, and then I'll get... There's a couple terms that drive me crazy.
Under-resourced community.
Free breakfast, free preschool, free grammar school, free lunch, free housing, under-resourced. Well, what more do you want?
Right.
Yeah. And here's another one I don't like.
The working people.
And versus what? Have you ever worked with people? Do you have to turn a wrench to be... Does that qualify the working people? The people that just turn a wrench? I'm for the working people! Hey, Jason, how many people do you manage? He manages 20 people. You want to trade your wrench for that and tell him he's not a working person? You ever try to manage people? How would you like... How many got 401k? Just quick. Okay, you don't have to be ashamed. How would you like the pressure of managing your 401k that's probably got $1 billion in it? I'm for the working person. Let me tell you, I want that guy that operates my 401k. I don't want his headaches. Okay, so I threw that out to you, a little bit more bitterness. And I told you I'm preaching myself. Happiness doesn't hinge on that. If we were all equal, number one, we're never going to be. Number two, we're not. We never will be. If we're all trusting the Lord, then we can be happy. Joe Camilleri. Al Cotton used to say, the problem not skin color, it's sin color. I told Damon, he sent me a thing this morning, which was wonderful. I got three texts this morning, and his was one of the positive ones. Man, he goes, we packed out the church today, and we're still within the guidelines. They're having their things over there. And I said, listen today, because I'm going to sing your name in Africa, an African. He goes, you know African? Of course I know African. Romanian, Spanish, Russian. How do you go to Africa with dirt floors and huts? And I don't know if they got the right to keep and bear arms, and I don't know if they got the right to assemble. I don't know what they got, but I know this, the first trip this church ever took, I don't know what the year was, probably 1994. You know what they were singing in their poverty? We love, we love, we love Jesus, Jesus, he's number one. I bet you, and then what they sang, this about the leader that was there at that time. But I bet those people, if they do, I don't know if Damon allows this, I hope his people aren't watching him. They said, we love, we love, we love Damon, Damon, he's number two. And we had a group over there, and they said, we love, we love, we love Tom Smith,
He's number three. Anyway, I think they went through the whole church.
Kind of sounded like the news last night, didn't it?
Don't you want a little piece of that? I do. I'm tired of complaining about the complainers.
Parents, in the eyes of your children, can your God that happens to be reigning during the threat of COVID, riots, forced vaccinations, trampling on the Constitution, mandatory closing of churches, businesses, and otherwise, and all the rest, can he be trusted, the God you serve, to be happy? And they look and they say, everybody's angry and mean and mad. But Mom and Dad, they just seem like Eric McCracken. Man, that other ship looks good sometimes. But you know what? Like Mike Pearl said, I'm not risking just this to risk losing this potential happiness that their God brings. The title of my... I have a supplement, if it's okay. Is it okay, a little supplement? Elephant in the Room. And this is the beauty of being in a church with pastors that love you enough to tell you. And hear me out. Don't shut me off. Turn me on. If you're considering moving because of what is going on in the temporal situation, number one, I don't blame you. I will part-time myself. If I didn't have children here, I probably would full-time sometime. And I'll just give you those qualifications. My children are raised. And our parents pass. I'm not pushing you over, Mom and Dad. But two things I want you to know that if you move, and I've been around to a lot of places and a lot of things, here's what I want you to know. If you move, and I'll even be liberal and say, while raising your children, if you trade a church that thinks like you in doctrine, in standards, in the roles of husbands and wives in the home, in music, in youth groups, and on and on and on, and all the other reasons that most of you came here, here's what I want you to know. And you think you will be happy? You will not be happy. Just remember, Fat Dad told you that. If you trade it for financial status or a job or anything else, you will not... Your unhappiness will just transfer. And here's what makes me afraid. Scared. You'll no longer be complaining about those outside. You'll be complaining about those inside. Now it'll be the church, and look what those kids are wearing. Now I know we're saying that now. Someone came to me and said, boy, this some of these things these girls are wearing, this wouldn't have gotten, this is a young person, wouldn't have got away with this years ago. It's getting to be accepted. I said, I'll never accept it. Whether I say it or not, and whether it's in my own home or not, I'll never accept it. And I know some of you guys are going, yeah, well, that's what we need to hear. Amen. There's 100 churches that believe like you within a 100-mile radius. And if, no, I better not. I better not. Okay. If I can see the bumps on your rear end, dad, husband, girlfriend, it's probably a little bit too immodest. Is that okay? If I can see the inside of your thighs when you sit down, it's probably immodest. Look at they're smiling. We got the best people in the world. Yeah, that's the pepperoni on the pizza. Look at you say, why are you looking at that? I'll put you in a guy's body for one day. And in fact, in a lot of cases, when it gets like that, it's kind of disgusting. I've been a lot of places.
And some of you are gonna stone me and think I'm so un-American. But I would trade my First Amendment rights to be able to keep that. The doctrine, the standards, what I believe. Because if I go somewhere because I can shoot someone in my front yard, and I go to the church, and all the women are CEOs and doctors and lawyers, and all the punks in the youth group are, and listen, we're not the best church around. I've been to more conservative churches with more conservative music and better modesty. So I'm not saying, oh, you better listen to me. You better not leave here. I'm telling you, I don't blame you. But don't think you'll be happy. And you better go sit in that youth group. Well, my kids aren't going to no youth group. Oh, you're going to be a subculture in your own church? That'll work out real good. Your kids will just love it. Some of the best churches I've been in. So you that went to public school, you remember? Listen, I was a fat kid. And I'm not joking now. I was a fat kid. And they would joke about us, man. Now, I was kind of cool. I got a little bigger and stuff as time went on. There was a fat girl named Paige Gerstner. Come to find out, she was a Christian. Dan, we used to sing songs about her on the bus. Paige Gerstner, she took my food away. She left me here with nothing to eat. Ha, 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 ha. Let me tell you something. This is a church where that doesn't happen. And if it does happen, I'll rip your head off and use it for a bowling ball. You could have your First Amendment right. You better be careful. You better get a church. And don't tell me if you don't have an equal or better church with the way you believe. God is telling me to do this. People tell us that all the time. Now, I'm going to bless you. I'll even come visit you. But I'm not going to believe you when you say it's the will of God to step down spiritually because what? They're not going to force a vaccination on me at the federal level. It's coming. They're going to stick a thing in my arm. I don't want it. Oh, what if they make us take the COVID vaccination? Half of our people ain't going to take it anyways. How's that for division? I don't see nobody sleeping today. I better finish. Did I say, what was my verse in Acts 20? wait a minute. As my grandmother-in-law would say, wait a minute. Here's what Paul said. He said this. I'm going to Jerusalem. It's going to be bad. I don't know what's going to happen there. And here's what he said. But none of these things move me.
All right.
And I'm going to reiterate, lest you misquote me. And here's the good news for complainers. I think I say 30 times it shows up in the Bible. You can complain all you want to him. I laid my complaint before the Lord. That's what they did in the book of Acts. The same thing was happening in the book of Acts that you're seeing on CNN and Fox and Emma. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth do set themselves against the Lord and against it and his anointed. The Lord shall have them in derision, it says. They weren't scared. Went out risking having their heads lopped. John the Baptist just got his head lopped. Go preach, okay. Let's refocus. Now, here's what I want you to pray for, parents. I don't want to, oh boy, you made trouble today. Pray for navigation skills. God wants you to move, move. If God wants you to stay, stay. But if God wants you to trust him, which I know he does, we got to raise these children. We got to try to keep this church right. If you're going to go somewhere, you want a church that's going to keep you right. Would you come to this altar and pray a socially distant prayer or from where you're at and say, God, help me to navigate.
help my children to be able to navigate off me being a fixed star that is not moved. And help me with my happy. Let's stand. Listen, listen, listen.
It's so hard. It's never been easier. If you'll follow the Bible, what we're talking about, if you're a Christian grump, you can be happier than the world easy. It's so dark, you don't have to be much of a light to shine. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look, why don't you take an internet fast? I'll tell you what I'll do. What's the date? The 8th? I won't look at any news until July 7th, after the 4th of July. I won't ask for a raise of hands. How many of you wouldn't look? I want, don't raise your hand. God, He's right. I'm going to look at what sort of things are pure, what sort of things are honest, what sort of good report. Listen, don't send me nothing. Because then you're going to make me go against my vow with God. God, help me to be. My daughter's got a couple weeks left. A week. Look at this one. I'm at a picnic yesterday. My son-in-law, Greg, he put it in nice terms, but basically, would you shut up, please? Listen to this one. What happened in the last hour? Go ahead, Bill J. We got to get out of here.
Sing along with Amy if you know the song.